I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode here at the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Mark Mittelstead. This Saturday's episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast Weekend Edition, we're beginning a new format for Saturdays called Ask Me Anything, where I will respond to your questions. I'd like to welcome you all to the first episode of Ask Me Anything, where the topics are generated by you, the listener. This podcast is for you listeners out there, and the best way I can serve you is to listen to you. Those in the Stress Mastery community have asked me some great questions that I will address as best I can. So if you want to be a part of this, if you're already a member of the Stress Mastery community, then simply reply to my threads in the open forums on there, or send me a direct message if it's too private to share publicly. I'm here for you. Sometimes I offer up my perspective not to simply give you an answer, but to provoke you to think differently about your perceptions so you can come to your own conclusions. Any attempt to answer on my part is only from my perspective. It's up to you to contemplate and use it for your own benefit. This is how we grow. So let's get on to the questions. This is from Heather. Due to everything I keep seeing this month, can you explain what Mercury in retrograde means? Why it's flooding my Instagram? Why there are even books on surviving this month? I've seen many posts on social media about how we aren't supposed to make decisions, call an ex, etc. We're supposed to declutter, organize, basically play it safe till this is over. What's the hype? What's it mean? And is this real? Heather, I'm not well versed in astrology, but I am an amateur astronomer. Everything in the universe is energy. Everything, with no exception, including you. Every shift in energy in the entire universe affects everything else. We are all entangled and intertwined with this field of quantum energy. Even gravity itself is a form of energy. The sun pulls on our planet pulls on the moon, other planets all pull on each other. So, from an astrology perspective, how these bodies in the universe align is going to pull on each other in different ways at different times. So this may be what they're referring to. This, of course, is going to affect the quantum field of energy of everything in existence. Even other galaxies, billions of light years away from each other, pull on each other in this wonderful dance of life. So, of course, it all affects us, even if it's in subtle ways beyond our awareness. With regards to as what we're supposed to do based on this information, well, think of it this way. What is reality anyway but an illusion based on our own prejudiced programmed perspective? How much weight can one give to another's idea of how things are supposed to be or what we're supposed to do? Every moment is a cause to make a decision. Should I get out of bed or hit the snooze button? Should I have eggs for breakfast or something else? Should I call my ex? I don't know. But these are decisions, choices to make. And you're being told not to make decisions until this is over. I'm not really clear on what that's supposed to mean. Are we supposed to put our lives on hold? I mean, does that seem like sound, wise advice? I believe we should always try to declutter our lives and simplify wherever we can if it serves our purpose. If not, why bother? Who is telling you we're supposed to play it safe until this is over? And what is safe anyway? What is this thing we're waiting on to be over with? Life itself? The pandemic? Waiting for the planets to shift into a different alignment? Well, they're always shifting in different alignments from even one second to the other. So this perfect alignment they're referring to is already over with just in the time I've read this to you. You were given a very brief moment in time to experience life, all of it, both the good and bad. Playing it safe means not fully experiencing life. Your life will be over soon enough, and you don't know when that will be. It could be today. So how long are you willing to wait until you live it fully? Until this, whatever it is over? Also, another question from Heather. Meditation! Exclamation point. Help! My monkey brain won't shut up for 10 minutes. Do I breathe, hold breath, breathe out, or breathe in, make the om sound? Do I ask the source or God to guide me? I'm often asked by many people how to meditate. We are beings of energy manifested into this physical world. So what is this energy? God? The consciousness of the universe? The same energy that gives life to everything has given life to you, and it is within you, not external from you. When we are disconnected from this energy, we lose our awareness of it. When did you first awaken? When did you first have awareness? From the moment of our birth, long before we were programmed with these faulty beliefs about life, we were already connected to our source, even before taking our first breath. Upon our birth, we took that first breath in total awareness. But our programming has taught us that we breathe unconsciously. This is true. Breathing is automatic, but awareness of our breathing is not automatic, and for the most part, we do so unconsciously. There is a difference between breathing unconsciously and consciously, with awareness of it. All meditation is simply being aware of the breath that keeps us alive. Breath is life. So you're really making too big of a deal about how to meditate when you already intuitively know how to, even without thought. There is no right or wrong way to meditate, and anyone telling you how to do it doesn't understand it either. You either are or are not meditating. Meditation is your awareness of the breath that gives you life. So in your awareness of it, you will automatically connect to the source of your being, energy, or God, or the consciousness of the universe, or whatever label you wish to ascribe to it. So conscious thought about anything can block you from your source of being. But don't fight the thoughts that come to you. As in your daily life, where you struggle with thought, just allow it to be. Don't fight it or resist it. The real you is not your thoughts. Thoughts themselves are just an illusion of the mind. Focus solely on your breathing. A thought comes to you, allow it to come in, yet pay no attention to it and just return your focus to your breathing, where the thought will simply pass on through without your acknowledgement. Why ask God for guidance when you are already aware of your breath, which is God, or energy, the source of your being, the eternal I am. How should you meditate? Simply breathe in on the I and out on the am. Breath is I am. Meditation is just restoring your connection to your true self. This question is from Bill. Because I'm an artist and a musician, he asks me, when you get inspired to paint or work on music, what is the process that takes place in your mind? How do you hold the inspiration to complete the painting? Have you ever started the process and quit? If so, why? Well, my pursuit in the creative arts began as a journey to share the beauty I experienced in the world, be it through my paintings, music, or writing. As I grew in my spirituality, I realized that all is beautiful. As Lao Tzu wrote in the Tao Te Ching, beauty is beauty only because of ugliness. They are, paradoxically, the same thing. Two sides of the same coin. With regards to the process, it always was and still is simply becoming aware of something in particular that inspired me to paint, create music, or write about the experience. In the past, it might have been a gorgeous sunset or an animal in its natural environment that I found great beauty in. But now I'm just as likely to find beauty in a powerful storm that rolls in, blocking that sunset, or destroys the animal or its environment. The power of nature is inspiring to me. So sunsets and storms can be equally inspiring. Music is much the same way for me. Beautiful thoughts or sounds inspire me to piece them together in song. Yet now, even anger or annoying sounds of machinery may trigger music that allows me to immerse myself into the emotion of the moment, regardless of it being positive or negative. It's all the same thing, really. So what inspires me? Both beauty and ugliness, positive and negative. I'm inspired by all of life. Once we become aware of who we truly are, these beings of energy, we can find that beauty and ugliness are really nothing more than a judgment from our limited perspective and not reality, but an illusion. And what is art but yet another illusion I create to fill another's illusion of life? For me, art in any form is an expression of our state of energy. Not about the physical manifestation of it, but the underlying means to connect with other beings of energy. So those who are angry will resonate with art created in anger. Those who are in a state of joy will resonate with art that's created in a state of joy. I'm inspired by both. I think we could all agree that a gorgeous sunset can be inspiring, but at the same time, those whose energy is not resonating with the energy of that sunset will most likely not even notice it in the first place. And they probably won't notice any art created that's depicted. Over the years, I've learned to take inspiration from any and every source and seize the moment to create from it. If the inspiration subsides and the work is not completed, so be it. There is so much to be inspired by and so many ways to express it that it's a waste of energy to force it. I just roll with it. In the past, I would work on many paintings at a time for that very reason. And they were begun from a source of inspiration, but I might set them aside knowing it was better to just leave them be wherever they were at, only to return to them when I found something new in them again. Oftentimes, when feeling no inspiration for any of them, I might have even let them all sit and then pack up whatever I needed and take a backpacking trip out west to restore my energy. Being out in nature reconnected me to my source of being. Not only did this allow me to be inspired by new ideas, but upon my return in my higher state of energy, I could objectively look at those incompleted paintings in a new way, and perhaps then complete them, if it served my purpose in creating them. If it didn't serve my purpose, why waste my energy on them? I do this now with my writing. So much about life inspires me. I'm equally inspired by sorrow as I am by joy. Tragedy as much as triumph. Failure as much as success. Writing is a cathartic process of manifesting my experience, for good or bad, into the written word. Anyone who is waiting on only the beautiful moments and things in life to become inspired just doesn't understand life. Life is beautiful, all of it, both the good and bad. It is often said that you can only fail by quitting. And yet there are times when quitting is a courageous act, to simply stop putting energy into something that really no longer serves our purpose. It may have seemed like a good idea in the moment, only to realize that in the attempt, the idea didn't really serve our purpose. If it fails, it wasn't for a lack of trying, but only a realization that it's simply just not worth pursuing any longer. That is not failure, but a form of success in our awareness. We may feel inspired to jump off a cliff, to experience the beauty of free falling, only to come to the conclusion in mid-flight that it was perhaps not a good idea to begin with. Obviously, in this scenario, nothing good will come from that idea, but it's too late to turn back now. You can't quit. You've already jumped. But most ideas in life are thankfully easy to quit and move on to something more worthy of our energy. There is so much that inspires, some of which serves my purpose and some does not. It never hurts to at least try it and see if it's worth our time and energy. But we will never know without giving it a chance. This question from Lee. Hello, Mark. What is your take on cremation versus not being cremated, and why? This is a really good question, and one I had to think about for a while because it's got a lot of religious connotations associated with it. If one were to look at the natural world and what happens to the bodies of every living thing, and were no exception to the laws of physics, one can clearly understand that the body will decay and be consumed. Even humans, whose remains are preserved, which only delays but does not prevent decay. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Those among the living who have lost loved ones may very well feel comforted that their loved ones' bodies are preserved. According to different beliefs, that for some, the body will one day be reunited with their soul. What condition will it be in by then? And what of those who died where their bodies were incinerated in a fire, or perhaps in a war where the body was entirely destroyed? Now, if one, according to their current religious beliefs, feel that God is all-powerful and can restore the body, no matter how decayed it has become, would it not be just as likely it could be restored from ash as well? Either way, our body is nothing more than the housing for our spirit anyway, and upon death, discarded like we would when changing clothes. Even when I was younger, I've never seen a body in a casket as anything other than a dead, lifeless body that no longer holds the life it once had. I've often overheard survivors making mention of how good the body looked of the deceased in that casket. While I would never be so rude as to reply, I couldn't think but help, think to myself, really? He looks dead to me, and that's not very good. And when it comes right down to it, that is what the body is when the energy that gave it life has moved on. Our body is to ourself what clothes are to our body. I can bring life to a suit when I'm wearing it, but once it's back on a hanger, it's just a lifeless piece of cloth. And what of organ donors? I happen to be an organ donor. Of course, not until after I die. In the words of George Carlin, heart transplants have declined in recent months because of the lack of donors. Many people consider it an imposition. If we donate our organs to restore sight to the blind or extend another's life by using our organs we no longer have a need for, what happens to those still living with them if our bodies are reunited with their spirit at some point? Whose organs get to claim ownership of them? Just a curious thought I had. No religion can claim moral authority over another, yet our beliefs are so programmed into us we will cling to them until our own dying day, if for no reason other than alleviating our fear of the inevitable, death. But death of what? When a star dies in the universe, its form changes from matter back to energy, which then gives life to new stars. It's been said that perhaps trees are the superior life on this planet, only using us humans to breathe in the carbon dioxide we expel, and then when we die, using our bodies as fertilizer to nourish their roots. It's an interesting perspective. Every culture has its own programmed beliefs about what to do with the dead bodies of a once living human being. Who's to say what's right or wrong? It's simply a judgment. The one question I would ask you to consider is, if the body is so important, who were we before we inhabited it? And who are we after we discard it? So does it matter whether it's buried underground, set off to sea, or cremated? I'll leave you to contemplate that. Okay, and from Sandra, would you speak more about the energy of anger and give your perspective on how best to respond in anger when we feel really angry, outraged with someone, and yet have awareness of this? Well, Sandra, you cannot respond in anger. You can only react in anger. There is a difference. Responding requires the neutrality from a lack of emotion. Reaction is an instant outburst of that emotion. Even reacting out of positive emotion can have negative consequences. How many of us have been so happy that when someone asks a favor of us in that moment, in our giddiness of joy, we make a promise that only later realize we probably shouldn't have made? Oops. So it isn't only negative emotions that need our full awareness. We must learn to be aware of all emotions in the moment we feel them. We should never suppress or deny our emotions. They exist for a reason. They are a part of our experience. So denying them is to deny our experience. For good or for bad, we must fully feel the emotion, embrace it, acknowledge it, but then pause or slow down and see the emotion for what it is. is it just an instantaneous reaction to external stimuli, or is it our state of being? When we understand that we are energy, we then know that we were not born with anger, but taught it. All that exists is energy. All matter, be it the sun, the planets, or even our physical self, is just this energy manifested into our illusion of reality. So anger is just an emotion born from the programming that what caused it is real, when in fact both the anger and the cause of it is just an illusion. When we pause and reconnect to our true self, which is energy, we realize there really is nothing to be angry about. It's just an illusion of the mind. Well, that's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by simply clicking like, share, and subscribe. The links are right below the show notes. As always, until next time, stay inspired.